In verse 3 of this reading, we have the words, "So great salvation." It was W.H. Griffith Thomas who pointed out that this passage, Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, is the first of five warnings and appeals which characterize the epistle to the Hebrews. This warning is wrapped up in what God has revealed in Jesus Christ. We're told in verse 2 that he is God's last word to a lost world, his final and his complete revelation to men. There is no such thing as an extra revelation. All that God has said, all that God ever will say, is in this book. All that God had to say in the past is now summed up in his Son. The prophecies of old, the ceremonies of the old economy, and the sacrifices of the Old Testament have all found their fulfillment in the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. The writer of this epistle, which we believe to be the Apostle Paul, informs that the system of religion of the Old Testament is now culminated in Christ, finally and forever fulfilled in him. Apart from Christ, God has nothing more to say. God has nothing more to reveal. What God has spoken in his Son is expressed in the words here in verse 3, "So great salvation." And we are warned to give strict attention, to give earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. The word "slip" means to flow by as in a stream flowing by. What the writer here is referring to, the water slipping by, flowing by, and never to return that way again. And the writer of this epistle is pleading with his readers not to let the truth slip by, run by, go past, not to let the opportunity go without the word being of some profit, some benefit, and some blessing to the soul. "Don't let it slip," says the writer. "Don't leave behind any opportunity, but grasp with both hands." Notice the words of verse 3, "So great salvation." It is a great salvation because it is the one thing Christ came to accomplish. That's how great it is. For in the Gospel according to Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, we are told that the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. It's a great salvation because it is the one thing that Jesus Christ came to accomplish. Thank God for that. It is a great salvation because it calls men everywhere to Christ. It calls men and women in every part of the world, in every country under heaven, in every walk, strata of society, to come to Jesus Christ. He wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For the Bible says there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And again the scripture says, Jesus is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And so, men and women in Ulster tonight, men and women in the mainland, men and women in every continent of the world, can be gloriously saved because Jesus Christ has given his life a ransom for sin. It is a great salvation because it is the one and only way whereby men can be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Peter told the elders of Israel, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So it's a great salvation. Don't miss it, my friend. Don't let it slip by. Don't let it pass. Don't miss out. Don't let it slip. Someone has said, Longfellow could take a worthless sheet of paper and write a poem on it and make that piece of paper worth thousands of pounds. Nelson Rockefeller could sign a piece of paper worth millions of pounds. An artist could take a piece of a canvas and put a painting on it and cause that piece of canvas to become worth millions of pounds. But when God takes a worthless sinner, a sinner died in sin, and wash him in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and put his Holy Spirit within him, make him a blessing. That is salvation. God taking a worthless sinner like you and me, washing us in the blood of Jesus Christ, putting his Holy Spirit within us. My friend, that's worth more than the millions of Longfellow's poems, Rockefeller's checks, or the artist's paintings, because that's salvation. That's eternal life. That brings us to heaven, guarantees our home in the glory land, gets us through the pearly gates, gives to us eternal life. Don't miss it. Don't let it slip. Don't let it slip by. This might be the time of opportunity for you. Friend, don't let it slip. That's what verse 1 says. Don't let it flow past. Don't let the opportunity go forever. Grasp it tonight. Take it with both hands. This is a great salvation because it shows a great person. God hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. He hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. If you see chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. It's a great salvation because it shows a great person. This great salvation comes from a great God. It was born in the great heart of a great God. It is based on great grace, and is brought to us by a great Savior. It's a great salvation. I believe this is the main point of the message of God's Word. to show a great person. And that point is underlined in these verses that we have read tonight, and also in chapter 1. If you look at chapter 1, verses 2 to 4, it says, "Whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also made the worlds, who being in the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he hath by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they." This salvation is great because it shows a great person. The first 8 chapters of this book of Hebrews seems to have but one goal, and one goal only. That is to give us a grasp of the greatness of Jesus Christ. In these chapters we're told that Jesus is greater than the prophets. The prophets were God's spokesmen. They spoke for God. But Jesus Christ is God speaking. And God has sent his Son. And he is God speaking in this world. Jesus is greater than the angels. He is has a more excellent name than they. We've just been reading. Jesus is greater than Moses, chapter 3. Moses was a servant, but Jesus is the Son. Jesus is greater than Joshua. It was Joshua who brought God's people into their temporary rest in Canaan. But the Lord Jesus brings us into a true and eternal rest, the rest of salvation. Jesus is greater than Aaron. Aaron ministered in an earthly tabernacle, according to Hebrews chapter 4. But Jesus is our great high priest, who himself has passed into the heavens. Aaron served for only a few years, but the Lord Jesus Christ is a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek, according to Hebrews chapter 5. The sacrifices of the Old Testament were offered up many times, but Jesus Christ offered himself once for all. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 27. Is it any wonder the writer here calls this so great salvation? For the Lord Jesus Christ surpasses and outshines them all. He is greater than all put together. Thank God, Jesus Christ is the procurer of this great salvation, and the offerer to you and to me of this great salvation. It is called great salvation because it shows a great person. So many of the Bible commentators have found the Lord Jesus to be the theme of every book in the Bible, and so he is. And so he is. In Genesis, he is known as the seed of the woman, the promised Savior after the fall, which ruined mankind. In Exodus, he is the Passover lamb, the one who is shown to be the Redeemer by the shedding of his blood. In Leviticus, he is the fulfillment of the whole law. And in Numbers, he is the uplifted serpent. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In Deuteronomy, he's the great prophet. We could go on through the scriptures. In Matthew itself, he is the great king. In Mark, he is the suffering servant. In Luke, he is the perfect Son of Man. And in John, he is the Son of God. In the Acts of the Apostles, he is seen to be the risen Christ. And in the Epistle to the Romans, He is the robe of righteousness. And friend, we could go on through the New Testament. And every book has as a central theme this great person, the person of our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. We come to the last book of the Bible in Revelation. He is the Alpha and he is the Omega. He's the beginning. He is the end. And he's the center. And he's all in between. Thank God Jesus Christ is all in all. And in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So great salvation, because it shows a great person, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It also solves a great problem, because in chapter 1 and verse 8, we read of the scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. You see, it's so great salvation, because this great person saves from sin. That's the problem. Sin is not a small matter. It's not a trifling thing. And those who are saved are saved by the grace of God. Those who are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Blood washed. Sinners tonight, feel and know that their sins are forgiven, that their black hearts are washed white, and that their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Every blood-washed believer feels and knows that their sins were once as black as hell itself, as black and as dark as the very gates of damnation. But when we as the saints of God go marching in through the gates of the New Jerusalem, our theme will be, our song will be, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Thank God for the great salvation that Jesus Christ has provided for us through the shedding of his own precious blood. When we think of how great sin is, sin has many names, answers to many titles in the Bible. Sin is known by the description of iniquity, transgression, rebellion, trespass, wickedness, unrighteousness. And surely all these names to describe sin present to us a great problem. But thank God Jesus Christ has come that he might deal with sin, that he might put away sin forever by his own death upon the cross. And so the sin problem is dealt with. The sin problem has been taken care of, and has been taken care of through the atoning death and blood shedding of Christ upon the tree. Not only have we a great person, but a great problem. Thank God for the person who has solved this problem by giving his life a ransom for us. So great salvation. It's great because of its cleansing power from all sin. It is deliverance from the debt that is due to our sins. Deliverance from the penalty that is due on account of our sins. And from the very dominion of Satan. And from the very doom of Satan and of hell itself. Thank God it's great, because it delivers from all of this. It's great because it brings us from darkness into light. It's great because it brings us from a state of death, deadness, into life. It's great because it brings us from the road to hell onto the road to heaven. Anything that does that is great. And there's only one thing tonight that can do that for you. That's God's salvation. You need Christ. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Not only have we here a great salvation, which is great because of the great person involved and of the great problem that it solves, but it saves at a great price. For we're told, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Chapter 2, verse 9. When God made man and put him into Eden's garden, he gave man his breath. But when God redeemed us by his son's death on Calvary, he gave man his blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. Thank God, this salvation is great, for it saves at great price, the price of blood. The shedding of the blood of God's dear Son. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8 tells us that Christ emptied himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Corinthians tells us that he who was rich for your sakes became poor, that through his poverty you might be rich. Peter tells us, we're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish and without spot. The hymn writer tells us, none of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, how dark was the night the Lord passed through ere he found the sheep that was lost. We have no way of knowing just how dark that night was. We have no way of knowing just how much Jesus paid. But like the hymn writer, we can say, Jesus paid it all. All to him we owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. His blood washes white as snow. Thank God Jesus paid it all. There's not one farthing left for us to pay. He paid the price. Salvation's offered freely. It's a gift. Receive it. Take it by faith tonight and trust in the blessed Redeemer. So great is this salvation. Great because of the person involved, because of the problem involved, and because of the price involved. It's also great because of the privileges involved, because it secures great privileges for those who believe and to accept this salvation. See chapter 2, verse 11. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. You see, we are brought into the family of God. We were hearing about that on Friday night, as it was sung to us. Isn't it good to be members of the family of God? He's not ashamed to call us brethren. This is the great privilege of the children of God. We're adopted into the family, and we have a right to all the privileges of the sons of God. So saith the Shorter Catechism. Furthermore, we have the privilege of his counsel while we live. He'll guide us with his eye. He'll show us the way we should take. We have the privilege of his consolation. In trouble, he's our comfort. In sorrow, he's our stay. He tells us every care on him to roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to our souls. We have the privilege of his companionship. I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. Lo, I am with thee always, even until the end of the world. We have the privilege of his control. Oh, the Lord is in charge. He will guide us continually. All things we know will work together for good to them that love the Lord. Oh, what privileges! We have the privilege of His care, casting all our care upon Him, because He careth for us. Oh, this salvation secures for you. It secures for me great privileges. Friend, are you enjoying them? Have you entered into the possession of them? Are they really yours tonight? Do you know this Savior, this one who offers this great salvation, free, without price, without money? Thank God, He offers it freely to the whosoever will. The Bible tells us, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Friend, it's a great salvation. Look what you're missing. You're living in your sin, are you? You're living for the world. Those things will pass away. You're living for pleasure. The day of pleasure will soon be over. You're living for materialism. That will not satisfy you. Friend, start living for Christ. Come to Him. For Him that cometh, He will in no wise cast out. And He giveth life more abundantly to those who trust Him. It's so great salvation. Look at the privileges that are secured for those who trust. And then, it's a great salvation because there's a great proclamation. If you look at verses 3 and 4 of chapter 2, it says, He was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him. God also bearing witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost. You see, this proclamation was first spoken of by the Lord and sealed with the witness of His Spirit in His saints. Thank God for the proclamation of this great salvation. God sent His Son to redeem the world. God sent His Son to save us from our sins. God sent His Son to save you from going down to hell. God sent His Son that you might have eternal life. What a proclamation. Oh, let that proclamation sound over land and sea. Thank God Jesus saves. May we be given grace to waft it on the rolling tide. Jesus saves. Shout salvation far and near. Jesus saves. Friend, this salvation is for you. Don't let it slip. Don't let it roll by. Don't let it stream past you. For this salvation is as full as a river, flows in its ocean fullness to us tonight. But friend, listen, it can flow past you. If you fail to plunge beneath that cleansing stream, you'll miss. You'll miss forever the opportunity of cleansing by the blood. There's no other way. There's no other way. You need to come to this fountain. It's so rich and so free. Cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Thank God Jesus saves. There's a great responsibility here as well. And this responsibility is flavored with a great possibility. For look at verse 3, it says, How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Think of the word neglect. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? The writer does not say here reject, but he says neglect. It does not matter that Christ has come and spoken to men, if men do not listen. light means nothing to a man whose eyes are shut. Light means nothing to him. Medicine can provide no cure until it is taken by the patient. Food will have no value to the body unless it is eaten. Neglect. It's a terrible thing, isn't it? You would say to me, preacher, I wouldn't have the audacity to reject God's offer. I wouldn't have the face to say no to Jesus Christ. But listen, you do have the audacity to neglect it. You might not think that you'd reject God's offer, but you can let it slip by neglect. You can let it flow by through neglect. Neglect. A businessman can have his business ruined through neglect. A field which is fertile and fit for producing the best of crops will produce nothing but briars and weeds if it is neglected. Neglect is an awful thing. A disease will kill and bring health to naught if it is neglected. Our text tells us that you'll go down to spiritual ruin, everlasting death and hell through neglect, if you neglect God's salvation. Friend, will you neglect God's salvation tonight? The text does not say, how shall you escape if you are a murderer? Doesn't say that. The text doesn't say, how shall you escape if you are an adulterer or a thief or an atheist or a scoffer? But it does say, how shall you escape if you neglect? You wouldn't want to be a murderer. You wouldn't want to be an adulterer. You wouldn't want to be a thief, an infidel, an atheist or a scoffer. Friend, listen. Thank God the vilest sinner who truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. While you might not look upon yourself as the vilest of sinners, but if you neglect God's salvation, you're bound for hell. You'll perish. And there's no escape. No escape. No escape. There's a great possibility here. There's the possibility of neglect. Letting it slip. Letting the water of life flow past you. Letting the river of God's supply go past you. Until it's gone. Young person, don't let it slip. Older person, don't let it slip. For today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Someone has said, in the words of a little poem, in youth, they are too young. In manhood, they are too busy. In maturity, they are too worried. When aged, they are too old. When sick, they are too ill. And when they're dead, it is too late. Does that not sum up many a life? Many a way of thinking. And the attitude of many a person. Don't let it slip. And then it speaks of a great penalty. This is a great salvation. Because of the great person, because of the great problem, because of the great price and the great proclamation, the great possibility of letting it slip. It's a great salvation because there's a great penalty. The text brings to our attention an unanswerable question here. There is no answer from heaven, and there is no answer to it from hell. In the face of this question, every mind is at a loss, and every mouth is stopped. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received the just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? The word spoken by angels. This refers to the Old Testament revelation. Paul spoke of the law as being ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. And that revelation was steadfast. It was settled. It was established. The word spoken by angels. Now a greater revelation has come. Don't let it slip. The Lord Jesus. There's no escape, because there's no further sacrifice to be offered for sin. This man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Don't let it slip, because there's no escape, for there's no more sacrifice for sin. God has said all that he's going to say. God has revealed all he's going to reveal. God has given his Son. What more do we want?